My friends and brethren, is about denying self. You read the pages of Holy Writ and you will see over and over and over terms such as holiness, purity, peculiar people, being set apart, being sanctified, being different from the world. That's no accident. I think Brother Sweeten's lesson laid the groundwork for mine. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible there gives us a hint of what I'm speaking of. It says that Jesus gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, Peter said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. Are you listening to me? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means how you live. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Many scriptures could be looked at along this line. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians among all their problems, and he started that letter this way. He said that they were sanctified, that means set apart, in Christ Jesus. They were called to be what? Saints. Sanctified, different from the world. Jesus Christ was perfect, without sin. We know we're not without sin, Romans 3:23. But brethren, the Bible commands us to strive to be without sin. And when we do sin, to repent of that sin. The Bible says, as we pointed out this morning, that we are to walk in His steps. And so you ask yourself questions as these lectures are given. What would Jesus Christ Himself do in that situation? What would the Apostle Paul do in that situation? He Himself said in 1 Corinthians, follow Me as I follow Christ. Now I want you just to listen to a few more scriptures along this line. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, to walk in the light. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1 says we're to not walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit. The Bible says that we're to deny ungodly lust, worldly lust. We're to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? In this present world. Brethren, there's a world to come. But you better live right in this world or you won't be ready for the one to come. The Bible says if a man blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven him. No, not in this world, nor in the world to come. Paul said in Romans the 12th chapter, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That's what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, it's certain we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we're going to carry nothing out. And so we need to prepare for the world to come. In Romans the 6th chapter, you have a commentary on godly living. It teaches us how to access the blood of Christ, how to be baptized into His death. And then it says we're to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. It says that the old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that he henceforth should not serve sin, Romans 6:6. The Bible says, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, Romans 6:12. Romans 6:19 says, for as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, as Christians, as sanctified saints in Christ Jesus, He says, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Brethren, Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit and His Word, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now with that laid out, let's ask our question. What about the Christian and dancing? Now, before you close your mind to this subject, I want you to ask yourself these questions. And I want to approach you. Maybe you don't agree with what I'm about to say, but I want you to ask yourself some questions honestly. Do the teachings and principles of the Holy Bible, explicitly and or implicitly, do they condone or condemn the modern social dance? In other words, after reading the Scriptures, would a person be encouraged to embrace the modern dance, or would they be encouraged to avoid it? Does the modern dance promote the Christian value and thoughts that are Christ-like, or does it lean toward worldliness and vice? Does dancing, the modern dance, paint a picture of something that Christ and His apostles would joyfully endorse, or does it bespeak more something akin to devils and wicked men? We've got to answer these questions. Does the modern dancing scene, especially that witnessed in the American and in the European cultures, does it look like what is outlined in the Bible, New Testament Christianity, or does it look like worldliness and sin? Now, we're going to answer those questions, not necessarily specifically, but answer them in three ways, 3 points. Dancing. Dancing defined, dancing defended, and dancing defeated. At least we're going to try in 37 minutes. That's not scriptural, but anyway. Dancing defined. Dancing defined. Biblical examples. First of all, the word dance can be used in a way that's accepted and a way that's not accepted. For instance, you look it up in the dictionary, and technically every person in here, I guarantee you, is involving themselves at some point in dancing. In this sense, you ever go to a football game and throw your arms in the air and jump and whirl about and clap? Well, technically that could be considered dancing in one sense. In fact, in the Old Testament, you find in the book of Exodus chapter 15 verse 20, that it says that certain Israelite women went out, quote, with timbrels and with dances. It also says in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, and a time to dance. But notice the contrast there. A time to mourn and a time to be joyful, a time to dance. Dancing in those texts is not used to describe the modern social dance. Luke 15:25, the prodigal son, said the older brother came in and he heard music and dancing. Do you really think he came into the junior-senior prom or a honky-tonk dance? Brethren, the context is one of joyful festivity and happiness. And when those women danced after they were delivered from the problem there at the Red Sea, they danced because they were delivered. David danced before the ark. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about, of course, a husband and a wife in the privacy of their own home. On the other hand, I am talking about the modern social dance, such as is seen at homecoming dances, proms, junior high dances, honky-tonks, bars, nightclubs, this type of thing. In fact, the Bible addresses something very similar to that in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. But I want to read it from the book of Mark, chapter 6, same text, Mark 6, 22 and 23. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it unto thee, unto the half of my kingdom. Now notice the text says, she came in and danced and pleased them. Now brethren, apparently the modern social dance isn't so modern, is it? In fact, you can go back to Exodus the 32nd chapter, and you'll read that Moses came off the mount and he saw the dancing. A few verses later it says the people rose up to play. And that term play can be translated fondling. And there was all manner of lascivious wickedness going on. That's what we're addressing. I am addressing, and we are going to show that the Bible condemns, not me, but the Bible condemns, the suggestive, lewd, modern dance, the social dance, which is lascivious and sinful. It has brought untold harm and misery to families. It has ripped the church of our Lord apart in many places. Many preachers have been fired. Elders have been rebuked. Deacons have been scorned over teaching the truth on what the Bible says regarding dancing. Let's look at some scriptural terms. Turn to Galatians 5 if you don't mind. Now when you go to Galatians 5, I want you to consider this thought, and I think you'll agree with me. Most people don't study the scriptures. Now if you're talking about the religious world, they don't know Matthew from Ezekiel, many of them. In fact, Amos said there's a famine in the land, not a famine of bread and water, but of hearing the word of the Lord in the book of Amos. Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hebrews chapter 5, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Had a wonderful lesson this morning on studying and meditating and reading. And then one followed with practical application of holy living, and now more specifically, a specific sin. Look at Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're made known. It's not hard to understand what they are. They're clearly seen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, remember that one. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, remember that one, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Brethren, how serious is that language? You shall not inherit the kingdom of God if you're involved in any of these things. Now remember what I said about most people not knowing the scriptures? Now, we're in a pretty educated audience, but I wonder if we gave a test. What is the definition of lascivious? What is the definition of revelings? I wonder how many people could tell you. Well, now, they know one thing, not necessarily you, but many people would say, well, I know one thing, Jeff, and that is there's nothing wrong with going to the prom or homecoming dance, and don't tell me I can't. What's the definition of lascivious? Well, I have no idea, but I know it has nothing to do with that. How do you know if you've never looked up the definition? See, people will argue a case when they haven't even studied the terms. We need to look at lasciviousness and revelings. I want you to ask these questions to yourself. Have I really studied these terms? Do I actually understand what they mean? And am I willing to stake my eternal destiny on my interpretation of this language? Is my defense of certain actions, that is, if someone defended the modern dance, based on my desire to do only what God says, or is it based on my own desires and on what I have been raised believing? Honestly, friends, ask yourself, have I fully studied the issue? If not, then why would anyone argue against something that even on the surface appears to be so adverse to Christianity? Let's look at the term lasciviousness. Now, one writer, quoting from Mr. Thayer, the Greek scholar, says this. Paul uses a Greek term here, according to the great Greek scholar J.H. Thayer, this is lasciviousness, which means indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. He says this gets the modern dance, whether that be the close embrace or the wild and deeply suggestive bodily movement staged in modern dance steps where there is no close embrace. Now listen to another brother as he draws on this term lasciviousness, lewd, licentious. Listen to the definitions. I think this is very interesting. He says of his research, lasciviousness is defined as, quote, unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, indecent bodily movements, and indecency. Referring to the term licentious, which is one of the definitions of lascivious, by the way, he says this. Licentious lists voluptuous as a synonym of this word, and voluptuous is defined as full of, producing, or characterized by sensual delights and pleasures. Sensual, directed towards or anticipating sensuous gratification. Arising from the satisfying or luxurious or sexual pleasures. Now listen to the definition of lascivious. Quote, characterized by or expressing lust or lewdness. Wait a minute, watch this now. Wanton, someone says, give me a little bit more. Listen to this. Tending to excite lustful desires. This is the key, brethren. He pens this. Notice the thought. Tending to excite lustful desires. The question is not whether the act of exciting was intentional or unintentional. This is not the question. The emphasis is on lasciviousness. Does the thing under consideration have the tendency to excite lustful desires? Now, brethren, that's pretty deep. Does it even look like it could cause someone to lust? If so, it's condemned by the term lasciviousness. Now you could go into the word asalgia, the word lascivious, and go into the background of all that, but I'm not going to do it. You can look at it in the manual. I do want to quote from some of the ancient writings that are non-biblical. Demosthenes said this regarding this term lasciviousness. Listen to this. He said, lasciviousness defines a person, notice, into whose company no sensible man would ever take his daughter. It's interesting, isn't it? It's not a religious man. That's not a brother in Christ. So after looking at all those definitions, here's what we find in summary about lasciviousness. It's described in Mark 7:22, Romans 13:13, 1 Peter 4:3, Ephesians 4:19, Galatians 5:19, etc. But here's the summary of it. Lasciviousness involves lusts, tending to excite lustful or unlawful desires, that which promotes sensual gratification. It deals with sensual or sexual desires. It involves or can involve indecent bodily movements. It can be defined as that which involves the unchaste handling of males and females. It involves the sex instinct. It has to do with indecency. It has to do with shameful, indecent public conduct and the like. But then we could go to the word revelings. Revelings and banquetings. I could read from various commentators and scholars, but basically it has to do with this. It has to do with drinking parties that can involve dancing. In fact, one particular person, after studying the term revelings, said this. He said, this author believes, after all of his study on it, that the revelings mentioned were lascivious feastings that were set to song. Another person says, also included in Paul's list of works of the flesh is revelings. These were feasts which included drinking and dancing. Another person, after his study on revelry, says, there can be no doubt but that revelry is any dance accompanied by joyful festivity with music and dancing. Friends, you study revelings, you study banquetings. Sometimes the alcohol is involved. It doesn't necessarily have to have it, but it has to do with the partying, the drinking, the dancing that usually goes on at these particular areas. But I want to give you one more that forever does it for me. And such like. Now, coming from a small town, and I live outside the city limits, population 608. Depending on which way you're coming, it's also 597. But it's not hard to understand and such like. You may consider that a first, second, third cousin. The Bible says basically don't do this or anything that's a first, second, third cousin. Don't get involved with them either. And such like. Now, brethren, we have adequately described the terms reveling and even in brief the term lasciviousness and revelings. We should also look at lusts and other terms of the same magnitude we could look at. But and such like does it. And such like forever condemns social drinking. It forever condemns lascivious dancing. It condemns the proms, the junior senior prom, the homecoming, all those things. And let me tell you something else. Let me just preach a little bit. You're not talking to somebody that was raised hearing this stuff. You're talking to someone who didn't know, come here from Sikkim, about the Bible when it came to this. I was raised in the Lord's church and I had good parents. But they were just as ignorant as a stump too. And then hard-headed on top of that, same as me, until a man came and began to introduce these thoughts to me. You think I'd ever studied lasciviousness, revelings, and such like? I never even studied Romans 13 about obeying the laws of the land. I thought that's the silliest thing I'd ever heard. It said you had to obey the speed limit, and I went and read it, and that's what it said. Obey the law. It's amazing what you find when you read it. But the point is, I wasn't raised believing these things and hearing them. But when I studied the Scriptures, you couldn't deny it. I know what I'm talking about on this subject. And I was not a rebel rouser either, friends. I was the kind of kid, when I went to a party, there was drinking, I'd go home. I tried to live a pure life. But I can tell you, dancing's a sin in light of what the Scriptures teach. So we've looked at dancing defined. Now let's look at dancing defended. Sadly, there are those people, and there always will be, just like Satan's manifested as an angel of light, according to 2 Corinthians, and his ministers show themselves forth to be ministers of light. There are people who will defend dancing. We can see that in the world. You know, Isaiah chapter 5, those should come to our minds. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto those people who haven't studied the Bible and then try to pawn it off as something good. Don't do that. That's not good at all. So let's look at a few of these excuses people may give. Here I just want to give a few quick excuses to what people would say. Here's dancing defended. We've looked at it defined, lasciviousness, revelings, and such like. But here it is defended. Notice some of these reasons. I found this in a tract somewhere I thought it was very good. Number one, it's good exercise. What about slow dancing? Not much exercise benefit there, he says. Let's be brutally honest, shall we? Not one in 50 dancers engage in it for the exercise benefits. Number two, is it fun? I like this brother's comments. I think you will too. It is fun. He says, apparently the worst sin against youth today and perhaps adulthood as well is to deprive them of having fun. We all acknowledge that sin is fun. Fun will never compensate for hell. Hebrews 11:25. Number three, it is socially acceptable. Would the things going on today have been acceptable 50 years ago in the mainstream? Brethren, there are denominational people that would have fought it tooth and nail 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. That ought to tell you something. And members of the church certainly wouldn't have stood for it. Another reason he gives, he says, I can dance without having evil thoughts. This is good. Listen to the question. Answering that false argument. Can anyone guarantee that those who watch have the same restraint? How about one's dancing partner? Wait, he says, wait until they get married and see if their husbands will put up with it. Most of them learn enough to stop it when they get married anyway. One wonders if any of these little girls or little boys know why exhibitionists dance during their performances. Pretty interesting point about husbands and wives, isn't it? You want to know how sexual it is? You want to know how much you're really opposed to it? Find the best looking man you can find that's about your age. Make sure he has a lot of money too. And then let your wife dance with him. Would you like it? You say, I'd kill him if he even asked her. Why? Because you understand the implications, don't you? It's sexual in its very nature. I'll ask this later, but if not, why do boys dance with girls? And why do girls dance with boys? Now, we have a lesson earlier on homosexuality, and we understand that, but by and large, it's a male-female activity. Well, how many people would turn out to the junior-senior prom if they said, junior-senior prom, this weekend boys only, next weekend girls only? Wonder why? Has nothing to do with the sexual nature of the dance, surely. Someone may say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, the bottom line is, we've got to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. It must be first proved acceptable before we can engage in it. Here's another one. People may say, well, it's not worse. It's no worse than a lot of other things. But I've had people reason this way with me. There are people that have reasoned this way with me, and I used to argue this way. I would say, well, we go to the football game. And at the football game, there are cheerleaders there involving themselves in dancing. And if I go to that, even if I'm not doing it, they're there and I go to the football game. So why can't I just go to the prom, even if it's just to watch or to be with my friends, to socialize? Why not that? To take a picture? I'm going to answer that in just a minute. And then some try to say another excuse. Well, it's chaperoned. It's supervised, especially in school. It's supervised by chaperones and teachers. First of all, who's chaperoning the dances? Faithful preachers and godly elders? Not if they're faithful preachers and godly elders, no. Maybe an atheistic science teacher. Do you think an atheistic science teacher has studied the term lasciviousness and is concerned with and such like and is concerned with sanctified, pure, holy living, peculiar people? Letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory. You think they're concerned with that? No. Friends, you study some of these bigger schools, they're starting to shut down some of these things because they can't handle the raunchiness that's going on in these dances. Even the worldly people are beginning to realize how vile it is. But I want to show you the nature to which this can go in the Lord's church. I want to give you a quote. This is from a brother in Christ. Now, this is going to shock you, but I want you to listen to this. Quote, there are many places we go on a daily basis that we have a reason to go, like ball games, parties, and school activities. Is there any evil, or is there evil there? Yes. Now, listen to this now. Can we as Christians abstain from it? Yes. Which brings me to the junior-senior prom. Is there a reason to go there? Yes. To see friends, to have your pictures taken in with your date, to eat snacks, my favorite, that's what he says, and dance in a way that is not sinful. Is there evil there? Yes. Can we abstain from it? Yes. Now listen to the gross misrepresentation of Luke 15:25. In Luke 15:25, the elder son drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. Did he not go in because of the dancing? I've never heard a preacher hold this position. So when you go to the prom, don't hesitate to go in and set the Christian example that I know you all can. End quote. Now I want to answer this, and I know this brother personally. The article was entitled 1 Thessalonians 5:22. That scripture says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So he entitles his article based on the scripture that says abstain from the appearance of evil, and then even says, is there evil there? Yes. Can I go? Yes. He contradicts himself. Number one. Number two, and I'm going to answer it, here's the problem. The difference between a football game where there's lasciviousness, the grocery store where someone may be immodest, and a dance is the occasion itself is evil. Friends, if it's 10 degrees below zero, the cheerleaders can be up in the bleachers with a camouflage coveralls on, and a football game's still going to go on. It is there for the football game. Sure, there are some occasions there that are sinful where we live in a sinful world. But the dance itself, the very occasion, is evil. I can go to the grocery store and buy a six-pack of Cokes. I can walk in there and the checker may be immodest checking out my Cokes, but that doesn't mean I approve of her immodesty. But how can I go to an event, the event itself, which is overflowing with lascivious overtones, and the very nature of the thing itself is a definition of lasciviousness. Number two, the Scripture doesn't say abstain from evil. The Scripture says abstain from every or from all appearance of evil. Does the dance appear to be evil? Even those in the world would admit such. I want to read you this that I've written in the book very brief. It says, I penned this after addressing this article. Based on the definitions of lasciviousness and revelings, and in light of the repeated and numerous warnings about sexual sins in Scripture, and in view of the great problem that human beings apparently have in this area of sexual sin and lusting, which is evident by all the times the Scriptures addresses it hundreds of times, and remembering the countless times that the Bible pleads with Christians to avoid lust, live holy lives, be unspotted from the world, not give place to the devil, abstain from all appearance of evil, lay aside every weight and sin, flee youthful lust, and so forth. Does it not seem unbelievable that a man who claims to be a Christian would write a bulletin article encouraging sexually heightened, sexually curious, hormone explosive, vulnerable teenagers to go to the prom and set the Christian example? Brethren, you know what teenagers are, and I don't mean any offense. A teenager is a hormone with eyeballs. That's what they are. They're hormones with eyeballs. Now you're telling me we're going to take two people that are at the height of their sexual curiosity, put them in an occasion, low lights, soft music, most of the lyrics about making love and sexual things. Dress just right for the occasion. This close together. Hours on end. What more do you have to say? But we have brethren that would defend this. I have argued with people. I have been the one arguing the other side of it. I wish someone would have said, Jason, have you studied lasciviousness? Jason, have you read those passages? I'd have had to say, no. Maybe it has slapped some sense into me. Brethren, Jesus died for one reason, sin. And the dance is surrounded and it's all about sin. In particular, it's about sexual sin. Matthew 18, verse number 6 says, woe unto that person that causes a child of God to stumble. It's better if a millstone were cast around their neck and they were thrown into the depths of the sea. And brethren, there's something deep about 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 where it says if a man sin, not fornication, it's outside of his body, but when he commits that sin, it's against his own body. It tells us how deep the sexual intimacy is between a husband and a wife. Marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. There are so many problems in the world today because people treat sexual relations flippantly. Young people, you need to save yourself until you're married. And if you've committed sin, you repent and resolve never to do it again until the time you're married. And you give that gift to your spouse. It's not just for young people, it's for anybody. Something deep about it. Something deep about sexual sin when Jesus Christ gave only one exception, fornication. That's pretty deep. Now you ask me, personally, some old boy beats up his wife, she ought to be able to get rid of him and get another one. But Jesus didn't say that. And so I'm going to give the advice he gave. He said, except for the cause of fornication. Now that tells me, he says if someone commits fornication against their spouse, they can forgive them. And that's wonderful if it can happen. But they have the right to put them away and then remarry. Not the guilty party, but the innocent party. That tells me how deep that sin is. Dancing is a precursor and it leads up to the sin of fornication. And I think that we understand that. I'm not even going to address his comments where he twisted Luke 15:25. Here's the thing. If someone says, well, Jason, I understand. I'm not going to involve myself in dancing. But if I did go and I didn't dance, what's wrong with that? Would you go to a beer joint to just talk? Would you go to a casino to have a Coca-Cola? Or a house of prostitution to conduct a Bible study? Why don't the elders and preachers have their local meetings, go down to Louisiana, there at the casino? I hear they have free or cheap steaks down there. Just go do that. Or go down to the local tavern or pub. Everybody else drinking and blowing Miller Lite and gulping beer and cussing and all the things they're doing in a beer joint. You say, well, we're just here to talk and visit. We're not going to take part in it. The very fact that you're there shows that you're endorsing that. And so I think that answers that about the junior-senior prom. Again, here's some questions to ask yourself. Or rather, some points a person made in summary. He said this, the modern dance is sinful. The dance is intertwined with sexual overtones. The money I pay for a ticket, if there is any, helps pay for the dance. I won't be going to reprove sinful activity, but for the purpose of visiting and socializing. I can visit elsewhere other than the dance and under completely wholesome circumstances if I so desire. The primary activity of the prom or any other dance is dancing. My attendants will tell others that I approve of this activity. The entire atmosphere of the dance is not one that encourages spirituality. On the contrary, it wars against godliness. It is inconsistent to admit that the modern dance is sinful and then to lend my tacit approval to it by my presence. Now listen to this. I can no more go to a dance to visit without hurting my influence than I can go socializing at a beer joint or a brothel without harming my influence and bringing reproach on the church. Dear friend, is the dance really more important to you than the cause of Christ? His precious church, your influence, and your soul's worth are a few hours of sinful pleasure spent on the dance floor or at the dance so appealing that you would close your heart to the truth. He says, if you attend the prom now, you sin willfully. You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 teaches us that we're not to live of the world. The Bible says there in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, he says, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now listen to the next part. And the lust thereof, he goes on verse 70, and the lust thereof passeth away. Do you realize that the lust that causes people to want to do these things so badly won't even be there when a person is in torment? I would hate to know I spend eternity in torment for lust that I no longer even had. It says, the Bible says, that the lust are going to pass away, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Dancing involves the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and in its defense, the pride of life. We don't need to be involved in that. So many people sadly defend dancing. I'll ask a few more questions. Why do boys and girls dance with boys and girls? Again, why do men dance with women and women with men? Sponsor a prom again with one without the other and it'll shrink. Now here's what makes me hurt, is even members of the Lord's church will defend it. We know it's sexual by that very question. The very fact that men want to dance with women and that women dance with men or want to dance with men shows us how extremely sexual it is. I want you to listen to a quote from a professor who was also an operator of one of the largest dance halls in Chicago. And he was speaking before the World's Purity Congress. I don't know how they got him to do that. But anyway, here's what it says. He said this. This man knows about dancing. He owned one of the biggest dance halls. He said this, we are all men. We know the natural desires of youth. We know that sex is the strongest impulse implanted in the human race. You can picture the effect on a boy or a girl of 18 or 20. When this hunger is the keenest, when knowledge and experience are lacking in formation of judgment, in one of those dances which call for close abdominal contact and frequently bring the cheeks together and intertwine the limbs. Now listen to this. Yet we find thousands and thousands of boys and girls dancing this way every day who do not realize that they are doing anything out of the way and whose fool parents look on complacently. This form of dancing is a menace to the future of our nation. Listen to this. Tell your investigators not to watch the heads and the feet of the dancers, but to keep their eyes on their abdomens. They will find partners bending backwards, their heads far apart, but their pelvic regions... I'm not going to give you a sexual lesson here, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Their pelvic regions glued tightly together and limbs intertwined. There is left then but one reason for its popularity. The reason is sex appeal. I hasten to assure you, I do not believe that the dancers always are conscious of this. The reason that they enjoy the positions and the steps that go with it, but this lack of consciousness is merely an added factor of danger. And then the final point in 5 minutes, 6 minutes left, dancing defeated. Now technically we've already done it. We've shown how dancing involves lasciviousness. We've shown how it involves revelings and the such like. It's sexual in its nature. We're to abstain from the appearance of evil. We're to not involve ourselves with the lust of this world. But I want you to consider just a few more points before we close. Our opposition is not to the rejoicing of ancient Hebrews. Rather, it is to that which incites lust and sinful lasciviousness, such as the modern dance. In fact, we dare to say that the sin of Herodias and Herod is much like that seen in numerous dance halls, honky-tonks, and other venues for modern dancing. Even the seemingly lesser settings, like the supposedly innocent school dances, are in reality precursors and many stages for the more raunchy and vile dancing that occurs in dance halls and adult-themed dancing situations. Friends, let me ask you a question. If you encourage or don't discourage people from going to the school dances, when they get out of school, where are they going to go? The only thing left is honky-tonks and bars and work-related events. Who's chaperoning then? Who's to blame? I'll tell you who's to blame. Preachers, teachers, mamas, daddies, anybody who doesn't stand against the evils that we see in this activity. What would happen if we in our minds could go back 100 years in this country, in the public school setting? You think the superintendents and the administrators and the teachers and even the denominational and religious leaders from yesteryear would put up with the stuff that now goes on? And yet, can't you in your mind's eye see even maybe a sincere person coming up and giving an elder or a preacher what for regarding the fact that their little girl or their little boy has every right to go to the prom? And who are you to make a judgment on that? Brethren, in summary fashion, here's why dancing is wrong. It's wrong because of the comparable examples of the Bible, like Exodus 32, Matthew 14. It's wrong because the terms lasciviousness and revelings in specific, as well as other general terms, condemn it, including and such like. It's wrong because dancing is dripping with sexual overtones and lustful moments. The sexual nature of the dance can be seen in the reason a boy dances with a girl and a girl with a boy. Dancing, number four, even in the least degree, gives the very appearance of evil. Number five, the principles laid out in the Bible condemn the modern dance. Holy living, pure living, all the times it addresses that. Number six, our influence is destroyed when we attend or support in any way the modern dance. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise your youth. Be an example of the believers." In what? He says, in purity, first of all. Brethren, how worldly has the church become? Brother Bill Jackson made this statement on a tape that I heard. I think he preached a number of years ago. I never met him, but he made this statement. He said, "I don't think I've ever seen the church as worldly as I now see it." And I don't mean necessarily the people in this audience. But brethren, there are members of the church, and I would hate to take a poll to see how many of them allow their children to go to the proms and the homecoming dances and the school dances and don't teach the truth, haven't studied lasciviousness. How worldly has the church become? Another reason it's wrong is the brevity of life. How many people, when they consider the proms, are thinking about the brevity of life? Can you see a junior or a senior in high school really being concerned about the prom if they knew they were going to die 2 days later? On the other hand, consider this. Can you see a faithful Christian parent saying this? I'm going to give you a quote that I made up, but can you see this? Here's a Christian parent. Can you see them saying this? "Boy, I sure wish I would have let my teenager attend the dance. Yeah, I know as a teenager he was at the very peak of his sexual curiosity and his hormones were racing. And to think I could have put him in a situation that would have allowed him to intertwine with a very attractive, perfume-wearing, cute-figured girl about his age. There would have been soft lights, music setting the mood, probably with lyrics talking about making love and the pleasures of sexual relations. I mean, he could have had his body pressed to hers with only their clothes separating them from sexual intimacy. And after all, there would have been some atheistic science teacher watching him and her, chaperoning them. What was I thinking? I sure wish I would have let them go to the dance. No, I can't see people doing that. I'll end with these questions. Why do most people cease to dance after they get married and have kids? Why does it... say don't have time, but that's not the only reason. That's not the only reason. I'm not talking about in your house now. But they don't go out and do it and go to these dances in public. They know better. They know it's overlapped with sexual overtones. Why does a brother... or why does it bother a normal husband or wife to allow another woman or man to dance with their spouse? Would a normal man want another good-looking man or to dance with his girlfriend or wife? Or would a normal woman want another good-looking woman to dance with her boyfriend or husband? If not, why not? Number four, would you allow another man or woman to dance with your spouse if you knew they had lustful thoughts or even a high physical attraction toward him or her? How do you know they don't? Number five, does dancing have a tendency to encourage lustful thoughts? And remember, the definition of lasciviousness, tending to excite lust. Number six, if David, a man after God's own heart, fell into deep sin by even looking at a woman, what makes us think that he's not going to tempt us? Satan was after Peter. Simon, Simon, Jesus said, Satan hath desire to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. He was after Job. He even tempted Jesus Christ. Who do you think you are to put yourself in such a position? Why do hundreds and thousands, even tens of thousands of religious people, not even members of the Lord's church, oppose the modern dance? If it is true that into a lascivious person's company, no sensible man would ever take his daughter, what does it say about parents, fathers in particular, that allow their daughters to attend dances? Would a person go to a dance if that person knew the Lord were coming back to that during the time of that event? And can a person go to dances and just talk without being associated with the evil that is obviously going on there? I have quotes in the book from professors and medical people. I wish you would read those. But I would say this, brethren, and I would be amiss if I didn't read a few script or give you a few verses to end with. You can take all that I've said and throw it away. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Throw it away. And you listen to these scriptures, and here it is. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, deny yourself daily, Luke 9:23. You should have Christ living in you, Galatians 2:20. You should strive to enter in at the straight gate, Matthew 7:13. You should walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. Abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset you, Hebrews 12:1. We should count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:8. Love not the world, 1 John 2:15. Be not a friend of the world, James 4:4. Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. Give not place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. Resist the devil, James 4:7. Be an example of the believers, 1 Timothy 4:12. Hate every false way, Psalm 119, verse 104. Realize that we are strangers and pilgrims, and that we are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, 1 Peter 2:11. Christianity, brethren, is a fight, 1 Timothy 6:12. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:3. We're to die daily, Galatians 2:20. And we're to do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're the salt of the earth. We are a city set on a hill. We are the light of the world. What about the Christian in dancing? Brethren, to ask a question is to answer. Thank you for your time.